Welcome to Bad Taste Video, episode 300. Oh, yeah, the intro. Welcome back to episode 300 of the Bad Taste Video Podcast. I'm Mike, I'm here with Grizz, and we have a very special guest for a very special occasion, and that is Mr. E.K. Wimmer of the Laser Graves Podcast. What is up, my man? You are back for the big one.
Yeah, happy 300. I can't believe you guys actually stuck with it this long. That's crazy.
E.K. wild. And I... we're doing a little research today, and we realized that Grizz came on to the podcast in episode 71. Sorry, I had to fucking pull that out of my ass again.
I've done over 200 of these doesn't seem like a reality.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Unreal. It feels like just yesterday that you came on here. I was showing EK something that me, Anthony, and Mainstream Mike did in 2017, the precursor to Bad Taste Video. But I really can't believe that we made it 300 episodes, years. What did we say? September of 2018 or something like that was the first episode on iTunes. We had some stuff before that, but it wasn't like really officially, I don't know, it wasn't presented how we wanted to, but eventually we got it together and we morphed into our final form. And here we are with our favorite special guest, our Polonia historian and the knower of all things metal movie, I guess.
Unofficial to us.
Yeah,
EK is our third host, man. He just doesn't know it yet. He's
like,
the man.
It's like in
like
Pawn Stars.
Like the fifth Beatle.
Oh, yeah. No, you're like the dude that, you're like Pat Smear of Nirvana.
Oh, there we go, yeah.
That's I feel
I
like
have
that's...
some cred with the Germs, but I really came into form on the Unplugged album.
I was just going to say that, like, they brought him on to, like, tour, and then eventually he's in the band.
Yeah. They're like, well, you don't have a choice anymore.
Don't worry. We know that your Laser Graves, what do you want to call that? Like the Laser Graves universe or whatever. It's you and your wife. So we
can
never
break
that up.
Man. We get it.
That's right. Yeah.
We'll pry as hard as we can.
You guys literally can't break up the podcast.
Yeah, I know. It's impossible.
You're stuck. You're stuck, man. But me and Grizz, we're doing great as a couple here. We've been going for years now, but here we are at episode 300 to speak about Peter Jackson, mostly, you know, Bad Taste, Dead Alive, The Frighteners, Meet the Feebles. There's some other stuff that we'll pickle in there. We do have our Lord of the Rings Mordor background over here. I figured that would be at least a nod, because I know I'm not going to be able to talk about Lord of the Rings. Yeah. But you know, we'll work. I'll work it in somehow. EK froze here for a bit. He is. He's back. That is fine.
I just want to say too, before we get going on that like I dude, for everyone that like started with us in just like the podcast realm before we were doing videos and everything, then you fucking followed us to Twitch. We got our show. This original show was on Twitch. We got, you know, banned from Twitch for being too saucy.
Too explicit.
And, you know, we've landed here on YouTube, and it's been an awesome experience. I think this is where we belonged the entire time. But anybody that kind of followed us through all of that or you know, still listens to the podcast, you know, just in a podcast form, I really fucking appreciate you guys. This has been such a a cool experience to do every fucking Tuesday with Mike.
Yeah, those are
yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, those are the real hardcore ones that have been around since Ghoulies 3. Originally
yeah.
the idea of the podcast was to do all like the odd sequels to movies. And then I realized that only goes so far because, you know, there's only so many odd sequels out there before you get like into everything being good. And then like, there's all these other movies that you have that like, then you can't cover. EK, you know, from having the 80s, like your 80s block. So you're really only good from 80 to 89. Right. And that kind of cuts you off from some of the stuff that you want to cover, but it's a commitment.
I don't know. But we did the time travel to get around that. We do our time travel episodes so we can talk about ownership in just the 80s.
Yeah.
Got to have a little fun.
But yeah, as everybody knows, Peter Jackson movie, one of our favorites. That's one of my favorite movies. As a kid, there was a local video store that actually had the poster in it. So seeing that as a child is rather odd, pretty crazy. I'll never forget it. But I think that's a good place to start since that is kind of his starting point also. I feel like Bad Taste is probably the movie that sets the tone for a majority of his, I would say, lower budget films or whatnot. It has a specific look, a specific vibe and everything. And he uses that in a lot of films up until, you know, like The Lord of the Rings, like shit like that. I mean, obviously, there's Heavenly Creatures. We said we were going to watch it. It's really not for us. We'll have a clip from that later. But he really did have a specific feel to his movies up until a certain point. And I feel like Bad Taste is like the starting point of all that. Like, this is Peter Jackson. This is what he does. This is how shit's going to look. It's going to be super New Zealand-ish. New Zealand-y, I don't know. But you could definitely tell, like, this isn't Australia. This isn't fucking, you know, it really is hard to let people know that you're in New Zealand, right? Like, you know,
I realized about Bad Taste is that, like, it's Monty Python, but, like, a very gory, over-the-top version of Monty Python. Yeah. So I think that's what, like, I'm really endeared by and why I've kind of fallen in love with his movies is for his love, you know, of Monty Python and everything. It really does translate quite a bit in everything that he makes. Even I think some of the stuff that was more serious, there's elements of that, you know, those gags and stuff still in there a little bit.
Of course, all his movies have, you know, if there is something serious in it, there is something that'll kind of make you like, oh, huh. Like, it'll make you chuckle a bit. Like, he does kind of temper everything. It's never really a straight downer film. There's always good shit in there, too.
He's one of the few directors that has managed to bridge the elusive comedy and horror together in a really effective way through multiple films. Like, even directors that have tried it in the past, they can pull it off for a film or two, but that's just kind of his signature. And he just does it so effortlessly. Like, his humor doesn't feel forced when it's in a movie. And I really appreciate that.
Was he the one that they basically did he coin the term splatstick? Was that him who like first said that?
I don't know if it was him or if it was like listed on the back of like a review for the movie or something like that. But I've always seen that term associated with Dead Alive.
Yeah. With Bad Taste, Grizz, you want to give us a short synopsis of what Bad Taste is about?
I mean, aliens are here to fuck things up and we got to stop them, you know?
They want to eat us. Intergalactic fast food chain.
Yes.
Quite the idea. What's the guy's name? Colonel Crumb, right? That's the main
Lord Alien, the badass King Alien, if you will.
Yep. And they have all these minions that are running around doing his bidding, trying to kill and capture people for their bodies, I guess.
And all those people are the best characters. Those little like side characters that like you fucking see throughout the movie. Those are just they're so funny. Dude,
the one that's like eating the guy's head.
Oh, man. The guy that Peter finds Jackson. Yeah, the guy that finds Peter Jackson eating the fucking guy's head is one of my awesome. Favorite characters, to be honest with you.
We actually have that clip. What a coincidence. Is he like a tax guy, right? He's like a tax man of some sort.
Yeah, he's like going door to door and shit.
Ugh. A roadkill. Like he looks over. He's like eating a guy's fucking head.
Oh, it's the fucking best.
It's gosh.
It's like it's extremely graphic for a movie.
Yeah.
It's like this popular, I guess you could say, right? That's this well known. It's pretty awesome. It's really cool to see. I wish I saw this when I was really young. I didn't see this until maybe like high school or something. But
you know what I love about it? It's the angle of the slice of the head. That it wasn't like a fucking clean, like, oh, here's a perfect little bowl. You know, it's like a rough cut. And he's just fucking eating out of it. That's what it's a small detail, but it's nice.
Yeah.
I like that there's like, it looks like cottage cheese or something that he's eating out
of there. There's something, some big glob of yogurt or some shit in there.
But the movie is filled with gags like that. People eating guts and shit and things exploding out of people. People just cutting others in half.
The vomit scene, man, where they mold the head so they can just have a continuous flow of vomit. That scene is amazing.
And I think that's a good point that Peter Jackson does so much in these first, you know, his like, you know, splatter trilogy, I guess you would call him or whatever. He does so much like amazing tricks and special effects work. The miniatures in both fucking Bad Taste. And Dead Alive, the miniatures in those movies are just absolutely fucking incredible. But, you know, his puppetry and like the things that he's able to make, like to pull off a movie like Meet the Feebles and stuff like that, that we'll talk about, his like abilities is like never ending. It seems like for like making movies, his heart must be like so fucking into it.
Well, that's
his ability is like, it's his knowledge of every facet of the film is really what's crazy, because he didn't just sculpt and design the alien. He molded the mold and then he put in the little, you know, wiring so that the lips would move and the head would move. He built the crane system by hand to make the crane shots and the tracking shots.
That
he built
the guns
by hand. I mean, every single detail. I was thinking about it today and I was like, you know, we didn't live up. There was no internet in his time. So his knowledge of behind the scenes movie making was so advanced at that age, because he was in his early 20s. Like, how did he even think of building tracks and cranes, a Steadicam? He built a fucking Steadicam
in New Zealand.
That's crazy. Like, in New Zealand,
so
in the 80s.
Isolated to me, right? I mean, it's crazy, especially wild. In the 80s, though. Like, it seems so isolated. Gosh.
Well, when it's just amazing
when you hear him speak. Like at that time, even as like a really young guy, he's like very well spoken. Like every time he speaks, he sounds very confident. Yeah. You know, like how sometimes like they'll interview these guys and they just kind of like, he sounds like like a professor, you know, give it like a lecture every time. He's like, it's like, no, like you have to make movies like this. Like, this is the stuff I want to do.
And I can't remember her name off the top of my head, but I think his wife deserves a lot of credit also because she's hand in hand working on all of these movies with him, all the scripts that he's ever worked on and shit like that. She is like the fucking, you know, the ghostwriter for all the things that I absolutely love about Peter Jackson. So I think she gets a lot of like, she gets looked over quite a bit. No one ever talks about, you know, I don't even know her name. That's how much she gets looked over. So.
Was she involved in, she's involved in most of his films?
Yeah. Or like she's all like, of them? I mean, I think pretty much all of them in some aspect.
Damn, that's like the, credited. The John Carpenter deal, right? Or like he did all the good stuff.
Deborah Hill,
It's Frances Walsh, sorry. That's her name. That's his partner or whatever.
Let's recognize, man.
Shout out Franny.
Bad Taste has a ton of awesome effects in it. We have a couple clips here that we'll play just to give you an idea of what you would see. We did cover this way back over 100 episodes ago. Pretty ridiculous. Actually, we could pretty much say that for a lot of films, now? It's like, oh yeah, we did that like over 100 episodes. Totally. Yeah.
Been around forever.
But when the guy's hacking up, he's like, he's in the house, right? He's in the, it's a mansion that is actually a spaceship. This is how they're traveling through worlds, which is incredibly funny. Like this, the idea of like, instead of this, you know, Mars Attacks giant ET type thing, it's like a fucking house that just somehow has like propulsion.
Cool idea.
With like the lawn being like a roll up rug too.
Yeah.
That's so also great. Like another wild thing. But we have a clip here. Let's roll it. So Harry Potter is going through the house, fucking people up with a chainsaw, and you see him hacking off pieces of the body, and eventually he bisects the body, but you see like inside, like where the pelvis would be and like the intestines and stuff. For somebody like so young, it looks incredible. Right, it doesn't even look cartoonish. Like the torso, the lower torso looks real. It's so impressive. It's incredibly impressive.
I think that's why so many of us, like really hardcore Peter Jackson fans who kind of didn't really fall in love with him for, you know, Lord of the Rings and all that stuff, who really got into his horror movies, have just been like dying and hoping and wishing that we could get, you know, another splatter film from Peter Jackson now, because he's honed his craft so much. To see what he could do at this stage of his career with like this kind of content would be, because I know he wouldn't just like cheap out and go fucking CGI. Like, I would really hope he'd stick to his roots and fucking, you know, make something, a love letter to people like us who kind of like got into him for this reason.
What about a remake of Bad Taste? Him doing it now?
No, I would let it sit. I mean, that took 4 years, man. And that was the story of Bad Taste that I like about it too, is that it's like he and his friends, it is a real passion project. And I feel like that's what can't be replicated, is them on their weekends building all these costumes and sets and stuff. Like, That's the magic that happened for the debut that I think makes it so special. Yeah. Is it's really a labor of love on that.
I wouldn't want him to touch any of his
originals. Me either.
I'd really like him to like find the right story. If it's not his, at least something that like he feels really confident in, and just fucking go all in.
Well, like really, like meet the Feebles. Like, looks great. I feel like Dead Alive is like an appropriate budget. Like, he doesn't need to redo that one. It doesn't seem like they skimped too much. Yeah. Like, the way it looks fucking awesome. And then everything else, really, I guess he starts getting the budgets that he needs to work, right? Like the Frighteners and all that stuff. Like, he's working with millions now instead of hundreds of thousands and thousands where he started here.
I think the thing that I want is him to pull like a Sam Raimi, because for those of us who grew up on Sam Raimi and Peter Jackson, which for me, they were like, you know, Metallica and Megadeth for the thrash scene. It was like the big two, Sam Raimi and Peter Jackson. And they both had this hold on horror, and then both went mainstream with Spider-Man and Lord of the Rings. And I think all of us fans sat there confused, scratching our heads, and we're like, well, go get that money, but when are you going to come back? Yeah. And Sam Raimi did, you know, he came back with Drag Me to Hell. And I think all of us are waiting for Peter to like follow suit, you know, come back, you know, you did your thing, you made your millions, but give us a good old fashioned horror. You know, I know
Drag Me to Hell is like one of those 50-50 movies. Some people hate it, some people love it. I absolutely fucking love it. If Peter Jackson came back and gave me a movie that was like anywhere near as good as Drag Me to Hell was for Sam Raimi, I would be absolutely fucking thrilled, man. I just want to see his art again, his specific style that is his. I want to see on film again, man.
Is he like retiring or anything soon? Has that ever been like spoken about?
Peter Jackson?
Yeah.
No, he's been doing a lot of documentaries. He just did this Beatles documentary. He did a really incredible World War I documentary, and I don't know if you guys have read up on it.
Yeah, my dad
It's crazy, dude. It's like a revolutionary. They took all this original footage and colorized it and then gave it audio and everything. And it's basically seeing World War I in a way that you've never seen it. So he's very much
for sure.
He's going straight, man. And he's doing incredible things. He's just not doing horror for all of us. Yeah. But you know, he's doing his thing.
He did promise us, I think it was in like 2022, that he was going to be doing a full 4K remaster of these first three films. Fingers crossed that that's still a thing. I haven't heard much news about it, but he said that him and his wife are working on it.
Just give it to J.J. Yeah. Abrams. He'll do it for free. Like Phantasm. Sure. He's like, I just did it. It's like, oh, thanks, man. we have one more clip from Bad Taste, and it's more chainsawing, and this is at the end of the film, which I've always loved the end of Bad Taste. I love the idea of like the dude that you didn't think was going to make it through the movie. He pretty much is the one that like saves everybody. And then he fucking is like, ending. Fuck it. Like I'm going back to where they came from. I'm going to go fuck them up. But this is awesome when he like basically goes through Lord Crumb's body with a chainsaw, right?
Yeah.
Crumb cutter.
Suck my spinning steel, shithead.
That's the best line.
He like dives out of the ceiling and like through his skull. Oh, look at this. His eyes popping out and everything.
Dude. Dude, and he's dressed like Harry Potter the entire time.
that's really interesting.
The fucking funniest shit.
I think he's like birthing him. He's coming out. This is very Dead Alive looking, right? Like the way the goo is and the he's hanging. Is that like hanging dong? That's like a human
hanging nerd dong, you know?
Right? That's fucking wild.
I would love to know that if like that's like fucking J.K. Rowling's just like thinking of this book she wants to fucking write, and she's like watching fucking Bad.
I mean,
like,
the similarity is crazy
for a fucking character, dude. It's dead to fucking nuts, man. It's so
he looks just like Harry Potter. And did you see one of his friends that worked on the film that's an actor? Did you see his name?
No.
His name, I fucking kid you not. His name is Terry Potter.
Oh,
one of the guys is. No, I'm not joking.
Dude, okay.
Terry Potter is in this film, and that lead is dressed like Harry Potter.
Yeah, I'm gonna credit Bad Taste right now.
Dude, sue that chick.
All right, so why don't we head over to Meet the Feebles, since that was the movie that was after Bad Taste. Oh, EK has EK has his Bad Taste VHS. His
now we're ready.
Feebles
VHS. Wait, where is it? How the fuck do you?
The opposite of what you think, I can promise.
Close enough. There it is.
There we go. Right there.
There it is. There it is.
Buddy.
Okay.
Now, Meet the Feebles is basically like the Muppet Show on crack. It is.
Oh, man.
Awesome. You may see it and see like these Muppet looking characters and stuff, and you may be like, think it's fucking dumb or it's going to be stupid. Would I say that this is probably one of the more entertaining films you will watch in that year? I am not joking. Man. This was one that I didn't give a chance for so long. And then when I finally watched it, because it's not a horror film. It's literally like a fucking, like a dirty comedy.
Crime noir.
Yeah. It's like a,
shady, seedy underground.
It's so strange.
Musical.
But I didn't know what it was. And, you know, dumb me. You know, I don't want to watch. There's all this and they're singing and all that shit. I just want to see fucking blood. I'm going to watch Dead Alive. But then I finally watched it, and I'm a huge Muppet fan. I love the Muppet Show. I love that shit.
That was my shit.
Like we always talk about that stuff whenever, you know, but when I finally watched it, I was like, holy fuck, this was not what I was expecting. The comedy is dirty as shit. It's like raunchy as hell. The characters are insane and they're all puppets. And it's not like shitty puppets. They're like really well done. And some of them are people in suits, like full size, like Chuck E. Cheese walking around the fucking place type of
Chuck
suit.
Chuck E. Cheese, yeah, dude.
Absolutely awesome. The overall synopsis is there's a show that they're putting on that they're trying to turn into a nationally syndicated TV show. And it seems like it's sort of like a variety act where they have 100%. All these. It's the Muppet Show. It's basically that. And our main character is a giant hippopotamus, and her career is on the downslide. and there's big repercussions for that. There's also all
this. I absolutely love the alligator junkie who's like the knife thrower.
Oh, the Vietnam vet. Yeah. And he's getting drugs from the rat who's shooting porno on the side.
With full like Muppet Vietnam flashbacks too. Yeah, like we get a full Vietnam recreation of the war. It's insane.
That is possibly like one. I mean, I know it's like not a funny thing. Like having PTSD and all that shit from Vietnam is not funny. But when it's like a Rizzo the Rat, like a dark version of Rizzo the Rat, giving drugs to this fucking alligator who's a knife thrower, who kills his assistants because he's not high from this whatever drug he's doing. It is fucking hilarious. It is so fucked up.
Yeah.
There's the fucking rabbit. He thinks he's like dying from some sort of STD, and he's like progressively looking more and more disgusting as the show, the
boils movie goes and shit on his face, dude.
Oh my god, man! There's so many fucking Grizz.
Okay, I pulled a certain clip though.
Yes, go, yeah. Come on.
It's my absolute favorite song in the entire fucking movie. And it's kind of, and it's sang by like this, like he's basically like the director of the show, right? I mean, that would be his his role or whatever. And like he's like the director, but he wants to do his big number, and the fucking boss has already told him, "You're not doing this fucking song." But dude, he does it anyways, and you can see why. This is a beautiful song.
Is he a wolf or a fox?
I think he's a fox.
He's like a fox, yeah.
Right.
He's a fox.
All right, this
he's
is
a fox. All right.
I don't know. Is this gonna get flagged? Who the fuck knows? Who cares?
About it. Come on, this is clean.
You might call it off a god, but brighter than you might agree. This thing is like dancing at the top of the stairs that are like lit up like a.
And the top of the poles there.
His little dance moves I just absolutely love. Don't worry if you feel ashamed, it's been around for years. Thousands more than can be named. Dude, it's so
perfect. It's crazy.
It's like the staircase is lit like it's the golden age of Hollywood, and there's a big musical number, and they're gonna be coming down the stairs. He's dressed like fucking Magenta from Columbia from Rocky Horror, like with
Rocky
the fucking
Horror,
with like the sparkly hat and like jacket and stuff. The song is absolutely insane,
and it goes on and it gets in your head. The chorus just fucking repeats in your head all fucking day after you watch it, dude.
Yeah, you're gonna have to look that one up yourself though to see the full thing.
Oh my god, Jesus.
You know what's crazy though about all that is that just like Bad Taste, this is the story of Peter Jackson all the way through Lord of the Rings, is no matter what subject he's covering, he does it so passionately and well, because even though that song is crazy and off the rails, like all the music is really good. Everybody's voice is really good. All the costumes and sets are really good. Like he doesn't cut any corners on this at all. And for all like in reality, it's a legit puppet movie. It's not like a cheap version of one. No, I mean, it's really well done. That's what blows me away, is like he takes everything so seriously, even though the subject matter is completely insane.
Yeah, there's not a single human in this movie. Everything is a puppet. There's big puppets, there's little puppets, but everything is a fucking puppet. And I mean, when this fox is doing the musical number, you would think it's a fucking person in a suit, but it's not. It's the puppet's legs like dancing and stuff. When it goes closer, you could tell a little bit more, but when it's further back, it looks awesome. It looks really, really good.
I mean, this is such a precursor to things like, you know, what was that Sausage Party movie or Happy Time Murders, things like that. I mean, those kind of movies like exist, I think, because this kind of like paved the way for this kind of like, even like, what was that? The South Park guys did the Team America. Things of like that nature kind of like, you know, vibe in this same realm. And it can be it could be horrible. Like, this can be done so wrong and like fell off so flat. But just like the way, like you guys are saying, like this, the story being so not kiddish in any way, it's such a serious like crime story, and every has like these really fucking intense problems that you're witnessing, yeah. And stuff, it's just played so serious that like it's different than even all of those. Like, all of those are just comedies at its core, and this really isn't a comedy. I mean, it has funny parts, but it's like
it's dark, it's comedy, more like dark.
Yeah, I mean, and you're pushing the comedy in some parts. It's really, I mean, there's like an assault scene from like a dog and the fucking rat and stuff that is just like, holy fuck, well, dude. Even like,
the Borax Coke.
Oh, dude, the Borax Coke, man.
Why don't you set up the scene, Grizz? Why don't you set this scene up?
Dude, so the fucking boss has got these fucking other little rat bringing him his fucking his buy of cocaine, right? And he brings it in the fucking room, and he's got to try it out because he doesn't trust this fucking rat too much. And it just so happens that his one employee comes strolling in. Well, like, he's an accountant or something like that. I don't know. He's talking about some kind of like paperwork. And dude, he gets the unfortunate task of being the drug trier in this case.
I've got a little treat for you.
Ooh, come on, Mr. Bleach.
Is he an anteater or an aardvark?
Fuck.
And he snorts a huge line and his nose starts steaming. Shooting out smoke. It's fucking Borax. Oh my god. Look how good these puppets look.
Dude, this part where they're spraying and shit.
Spraying goo everywhere out of his puppet nose. They look so fucking good. And they made them themselves, right? Like, they made those, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, they're doing all this stuff by hand. When you see Peter talk and he's in his shop, you see all this stuff behind him, all like, he just knows how to make this stuff. It's crazy.
Some people are just talented, amazing. Man. Some people just have it.
I think that's what's behind the scenes that I think that, like, Peter Jackson fan knows. They know that, but I think the average person doesn't understand that he's not just directing these. He's got his hand in every part of it,
yeah,
and he does it with such good detail that... It just blows me away. Like, I even, there's just elements. We were talking about bad taste. Like, we were all talking about that documentary on bad taste, and even the machine guns that they're using, he built those by hand. They're not just store-bought toys. I mean, that level of detail is crazy. Yeah. How do you learn that? How do you teach yourself that?
Well, it's like savant level, you know, like that dude's so dialed in. Like, I can't imagine like even trying to like have a conversation with him about movies. It would be like so over my fucking head the whole time.
Speaking of machine guns, what about the ending sequence, or right before the complete ending, I guess, of Meet the Feebles, when the hippo woman goes postal, basically. I guess at that time you'd call it going postal.
That was the time for postal.
And she has like a military grade, like heavy machine gun. And she just starts shooting all the other cast members of the show. And it's not like there's like fluff coming out. There's like
exploding. Muppet meat, dude, flying everywhere.
Everywhere.
Oh my God. Hagen Muppet meat, man. That's the new one.
And keep in mind, that scene is happening while the song is playing in the background.
Yes.
That's like, if you couldn't make that scene any more intense, you've got the director singing his special number in the background the whole time. Oh my God.
So she shoots the lion. She just fucking turns him into Swiss cheese.
World lover.
Yeah. Literally, like, shoots through the back of his head, and you see, like, his brain just shoot out.
It's so impressive to do
dude,
that.
This
kind
is
of stuff
dark. All, like, the Muppet looking things are all on the ground. Oh,
the pumping of the blood.
Faces and stuff. Shit. Brutal. And they even, like, at one point, she shoots one of the fucking cast members that's like holding their baby, and the baby's laying on the ground with like the blood shooting in its face.
It's so dark,
but the whole movie is so good. I highly, highly, highly recommend this. There's a Blu-ray of this, right? Or no?
Yeah, there's a Blu-ray of like the three of these. I think they're just not like, they're not 4K or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the Blu-ray looks really good. Like these clips yes. look fucking way better than the VHS, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, the clips from The Feebles and from Dead Alive are both from the Blu-ray.
They're really nice.
It really makes you appreciate what they do when you see them in like the clarity of, you know, HD. It really is
impressive. I will say, because watching Feebles on a VHS tape does make it a kind of a rough watch. It's kind of a dark movie. A lot of stuff does get lost a little bit on a VHS copy of Meet the Feebles.
Well,
in my experience, I
feel like it makes it almost like you're watching a fucking dark Chuck E. Cheese show. Like a fucking show, like what is that, Showtime Pizza or whatever the fuck it was for you, EK? Was it Showtime Pizza for you?
Peter right. Piper Pizza or whatever, Chuck E. Cheese.
Chuck E. Cheese for you? All right. I don't know, man. I know it was something else before, but it was before my time. Now I don't even know. Is there Chuck E. Cheese around anymore? Is that still a thing?
I don't know.
Yeah, I got some around, bro.
You did?
We're fucking cheese up here. Yeah, dude.
Well, I mean, think about, I think you guys covered on, I think we did too for a Patreon or something. Didn't you guys cover that Willy's Wonderland or whatever it was with Nicolas Cage?
Yeah, I think we did.
Yeah.
Maybe a special one or some shit.
It's the kind of example is Peter Jackson. This is not a one-time thing. Like, you can't make a puppet movie after Meet the Feebles without somebody saying, oh, it's like Meet the Feebles, because it was so good. And that would continue on, because when we get into Dead Alive, you can't make a gore movie without somebody going, it's not as gory as Dead Alive. And when you get to Lord of the Rings, you can't make a epic old world battle without being like, well, it's not quite Lord of the Rings. Like, to have one guy be able to be in the conversation for years and years because of his film says a lot. And Meet the Feebles always comes up. If there's a puppet in a movie and it's, you know, a little cultish, it's going to be like, oh, it's like Meet the Feebles. It'll always get referenced.
Yeah. Anything that's not like a straight played Muppet is, oh, it's like,
it's going to be Meet the Feebles. Yep.
Yeah.
It's going to be that.
Yep. Anytime.
It's crazy.
Anytime a puppet has a dick and they show it, Meet the Feebles, man. That's it.
Yeah, it is. Muppets doing heroin. It's gonna be Meet the Feebles.
Yeah. So let's move on to the big one, and that's Dead Alive, aka. Well, actually, I guess it would be Brain Dead, aka Dead Alive, because everywhere else it's Brain Dead except here, right?
Yeah.
Correct.
I hate that. I love Brain Dead as the name. That's such a fucking. That it fits the movie perfectly. A movie that is probably the pinnacle of comedic zombie films, done extremely well. He had a pretty healthy budget on this one, and you could see he actually like put it to work. He put it to good use. The fucking like creature effects in this are nuts. It has like an element of the fucking Thing in it, where these things are also shooting tentacles and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
Holy
you know, a little lung creature with the butthole on it and farts. It's so funny.
Grizz, you want to give a little synopsis of this one?
You know, our man Lionel, he is a hopeless romantic, just looking for love. But unfortunately, he has an obsessive mother at home. and all shit goes crazy when she gets bitten by a Sumatran rat monkey at the zoo, and terror unfolds.
I love the scene of them going to get the Sumatran rat monkey, especially when like the dude he gets bit, and they're like, oh, all the guys are like pointing at him, so they cut off his fucking shit. And then they see he's got like a scratch on his other arm or whatever, so they cut that off. And then they see it's on his face, so they have to cut off his head.
Chop his head,
dude. Great. It is such a fucking, like, if you just showed me 5 seconds of that, not even, you didn't even have to show me the characters, I could tell you that's a Peter Jackson movie just by the quality of like the film, like how it looks. You don't even need to see people in it. It has such like, it's that Peter Jackson, almost like a filter. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I feel that way too. Like, there's something about, like, I don't know what fucking camera this dude's using, but it always feels like a fucking Peter Jackson movie for these. Yeah. It's so interesting how that works.
Is it possible that it is like the camera, that he like uses the same fucking shit over and over again, and that's why?
Like, well, he also, in his early films, the first three, you know, they have this kind of 40s, 50s vibe too. And I think it's like he creates a world. And so if you're watching a kind of strange horror and it's got that look to it, it's like, you know, it's probably Peter Jackson, because he was setting a lot of his early films in that time period, or at least giving an allusion to that time period.
Well, even Heavenly Creatures is a story that happened in New Zealand that's in the 50s as well. It just kind of seems to be his motif at the time to do movies. Because this Dead Alive definitely feels like it's one of those weird movies where it feels current, but it feels dated from the time that it was made. Like, it feels like a retro movie, but it does kind of also feel like it could be current times when it was made in 92. So it's, I don't know. Fucking New Zealand's mysterious like that. Almost never could tell.
Like, it almost feels like an alternate, like an alternate timeline.
Yeah.
Like Peter Jackson movies take place in like an alternate reality. You know what I mean? Like,
I could get behind that. Like, it's its own, like, you know, Jackson verse or whatever.
Yeah. That's why I can see that.
He's got King Kong in there and everything. That's going on. Maybe Peter Jackson's universe is what happened to Earth after The Lord of the Rings. that's the sequel. That's like the far out sequel, man. But Dead Alive, the bloodiest one, the goriest one out of all of these, the one with the most, noteworthy scenes, right? Like, we could talk all night just about Dead Alive, which we've done before in the past. But we've taken a couple selections from here. These are some of the good ones, some of the things that kind of give you the essence of the movie as a whole. First is a clip that I posted to the Instagram just, you know, an hour and a half ago or whatever. This is the scene where the zombie baby emerges from this woman's skull. Now, I feel like this is probably, if not the most recognizable photo or just scene from the film, because of how like crazy it is, and they pushed it with the marketing also, which is fucking wild. But this scene is one that I was blown away by when I first saw this film. Yeah. So Lionel's love interest, what's her name? Pita, right? Going over to this woman that she befriended this night, seeing if she's still alive. She's not really alive, I guess, because there is a zombie baby emerging from her skull by ripping her face open.
Element controls it like a fucking
and the other one's fucking head is on fire. Oh man,
like, this dude, that fucking other one with her head lit up by the light is incredible. Like, that's one of my favorite deaths, because she just sits there with the head lit up the whole time.
It's like a new lamp in the room.
Yeah, it's just like a background. That's so awesome. This shows how fucking crazy this movie is, how gory it is. There's really, it's like you can't expect him to not do something in this movie. Like, whatever you think, like, oh no, they won't do that, like, they do. It's the absolute best when it comes to like gross out shit. They say it's like the goriest movie. They use the most blood of all time or something in this film. I don't know, man. I still think there's some other films out there that might beat it. Like, even off off the top of my head, like fucking Das Kampf Brutal Duel. Like, dude, there's so much blood in that movie just shooting out at all times. Like, it's like they used like charged fire extinguishers one after another, after another, after another, after another. Like that.
I mean, yeah, that's probably more blood, but is it? I mean, you know, we're talking about quality of gore. I feel like this is really the upper echelon, you know, like you're comparing fucking old apples to fucking beautiful Honeycrisp, baby. Like, they're just two different fucking things. Two different things, man.
It's really funny to think, though, that like you got all these movies that come out now. super over the top fucking violence and over the top gore and stuff. And this was done, you know, fucking 20 years before by the dude that made the Lord of the Rings. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, fucking insane. I absolutely love this movie, though. It's always been, this was one of the, I have the DVD of this. This was another movie that I bought like a long time ago on fucking Amazon, used, when you used to get them dirt cheap. It's fucking somebody like, I don't know.
It's top shelf, man. I got this one and Bad Taste when I was, I think 14 or 15. I got it from the video store, and my buddies and I, like, Dead Alive was a standard. We would get together, we watched Dead Alive. We had never seen anything like it, really hadn't since. You just grow up on that movie, and it's all these years later, every time I watch it, it's always a good watch. And I always notice things I didn't see the first time, because there's just so much happening in that film. It's incredibly ambitious for what he was working with and what he thought he could achieve. And I think that speaks to what he's going to do in the future with a trilogy, is that he has so much belief in his abilities and he just pulls it off. It's crazy how he just pulls it off. And I think Dead Alive is the perfect example where, you know, Bad Taste kind of sets the bar, Meet the Feebles raises it, but Dead Alive takes it to the top notch of creature development and costume design. And the mother at the end, when she's the giant and she's on top of the house, there is something about early 90s creature features when it was still practical effects that I absolutely love. Because I watched this around the same time you see things like the Boneyard or the Granny, and they all have this vibe to them, this creature effect, practical effect vibe that is just a moment in time in horror cinema that's never been recaptured. It's that early 90s vibe that's, you know, incredible.
You know what those things kind of feel like to me? It feels like a fucking, like a stage prop from like the Wall Pink Floyd fucking tour. Like, that's what it always reminds me of like the giant judge wife and stuff like that, that they would bring out and stuff when they were touring with that.
Yeah.
It's that same kind of like, you know, mechanics and stuff like that. I mean, first of all, this movie is the fucking best movie ever made. There's no movie that's ever been done that's as good as this, that will probably ever be as fucking good as this. I'm going to flex a little bit.
do it.
We're gonna fucking show some stuff off.
Yeah.
First of all, this movie is so fucking good that I have been like branded for the rest of my life with it on my fucking arm. I got this fucking dope fucking skateboard from fucking Hookups. I'll put it over here a little bit.
Oh yeah, that Japanese fucking cover. That's
the shit right there. I fucking down with that.
That's my favorite cover, by the way.
It is my favorite cover.
I love it.
Got the VHS
there. It is.
Right there. Oh, I also have that. I forgot to bring that in here. I wish I would have. We could have been.
Yeah, dude, that's the spot right there. I got
best release. I'm still after that one myself.
That one is good. My favorite release is this fucking French Canadian release. This cover, and I love it because of the fucking font, dude.
The font, yeah,
that font is fucking so much fun.
Look at this guy. Just pulling this shit out.
Look at him. It's going to go all night.
An original soundtrack from Germany. You got to get the good tunes on there. A couple more things here. All right. The fucking laser disc from Japan, right?
There you go.
That's the fucking fun one.
Look at that thing.
Never been able to watch it. I don't got it.
Damn, that's wild.
Recently, dude, I have fucking acquired some really fucking special objects that I was actually lucky enough to find locally. A buddy of mine who fucking sells a lot of shit, gets his hands on an insane amount of horror memorabilia, had these, made a great deal on them. I don't know how many of these would probably still exist anymore, maybe a few, but like, so what these are is a renaming, you know, watch along that Trimark had put on to rename Brain Dead to something different, because they were going to release it in the United States and they couldn't call it Brain Dead because there was already another movie with that. So they handed out these tickets that basically would say, write your new name suggestion on the back of this ticket and hand it in, keep your number, the numbers over here and shit. And if your numbers, or if your fucking title is picked, you know, you win a prize, you get to be in a Trimark fucking horror movie. Coming up, if you won the whole prize and stuff, and they each came with like an eyeball. This one's got a fucking mouth on it and shit like that. But I this is like amazing to me,
yeah,
that like to have something that, you know, originally from 92 that potentially did get, I don't know if the movie got renamed through, you know, this you know, this viewing and stuff like that, but the concept that it could have been to go there and like write your name suggestion after watching it, dude. How fucking fun would that?
That's awesome. So cool. That's an awesome way to try to like rename a movie in a country that you want it to be like released in. You know what I mean? Oh, like, dude, that's a good idea. I gotta commend him on that.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, it's awesome.
One clip that I want to show before we kind of like wrap up, I would say the well, actually, there's two more clips I want to show. Probably the other most famous scene from Dead Alive, and that is the scene with all the blood, all the guts, and this is when Lionel comes back into the party that's now overrun by zombies with a very unique weapon, which we'll see parodied throughout some other movies, you know, throughout time. This is a very unique weapon, and that is a lawnmower. No, he's not pushing it. He's holding it up and using it like a fucking shield of death.
This is the most iconic fucking scene.
Yeah, this is incredible.
You can't talk about the movie without this fucking scene. The head sliding in the beginning is the best part, too.
Yeah.
Party's over.
Party's over. The music is awesome, too.
This has got to be the most powerful fucking lawnmower of all time. I gotta tell you that.
Skunky bone and everything. I don't know, man. This thing.
Dude, my fucker gets bogged down in tall grass. I get
you know why? It's too new, man. That's like one of those ones.
Gosh, that,
you
know, it's one of those old school ones.
Yeah, dude, you could push it over a fucking cement block and it would just chop it up. It never stopped. Hell yeah.
I ran on fucking
horse. And this movie, dude, this movie just melted my brain as a teenager. It's just, it's unmatched, you know, as far as what was coming out at that time. It was like a game changer.
It changed the way I fucking looked at movies from the first time I saw it. I was like, I've never experienced I've, you know, oh, there's gory movies and there's this and that. A lot of times you like watch gory movies and the fucking stories suck. And like, it's just not, you're just there for the fucking gore and stuff. This one delivered for me on like a different way than most horror movies ever deliver. Yeah, I like really fucking fell in love with these characters. Lionel as like the main character is such like a doofy but lovable guy who's like trying his fucking best, and like you want him to fucking break free from his fucking bitchy mom and like go with this Paquita chick, and like, you know, you root for him the whole time even though he's like such an underdog, like nerdy fucking guy. The whole story just kind of like pulled me in, and then it was followed up with some of the best gore scenes I think that have ever been put to film. Yeah, there's been maybe some gorier stuff, but just like the mixture of the comedic with the absolute over the top gore, a fucking baby in a blender and a fucking scene, all these fucking wild fucking, you know, concepts and stuff. When that fucking baby's running through the park, that's the most ridiculous goddamn fucking thing. It's a small dude fucking running around in a baby suit. It's, like, fucking. It's just, it's so campy, but so, it's so endearing to me, man. This movie is fucking the best.
Yeah, so, I think you nailed it there, man. Sheesh. Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard you give like a monologue like that about something.
Yeah,
that was real
fucking rules, bro.
That was passion, baby. That was passion.
Felt good to get that off my chest.
So one other clip. Now, we don't have any clips from The Frighteners, but you could go and listen to our episode on The Frighteners, because that is one of the last really good Michael J. Fox movies. Obviously, he did Mars Attacks and Stuart Little. After, I just made a phone call on accident. obviously, he did those movies, but, I just want to show the murder sequence from, what's it called?
From Heavenly Creatures.
Heavenly Creatures.
This is pretty,
pretty fucking brutal.
Heavy.
Let me,
just this is based on like real events and shit like that, that happened. Like, if you don't know, like the story is basically these two girls that kind of like have shitty lives and stuff, fall like kind of in love with each other in a sense, but like obsessed with one another throughout the schooling and stuff, and like the mother doesn't really abide by it, and like so they take it upon themselves to eliminate the fucking problem they had that's stopping them from being friends, which is this poor mother here who gets a fucking brick to the head.
But this looks like a Peter Jackson movie here, like the way
very serious Peter Jackson movie.
But like the way she gets hit in the head with the brick and everything. And I think at one point her skull is actually flat. Right. I think, yeah. Trying to pay attention to that. See if you could, cause I feel like I noticed that. So she like goes down to pick up this jewel in the dirt and Winona Ryder just hits her in the head with a brick. What a noise.
The sound that she makes, dude, is what's like so like, oh.
Look, it looks like a...
Yeah, it is flat.
Oh. They're passing the brick now and she's just beating her in the head.
Fucking shit.
Oh my god, that's a brutal sequence.
It's so intense. Fucking on that note.
Yeah, so Peter Jackson, probably one of the directors that sums up our fucking podcast, besides the obvious others that we talk about frequently, but I thought it was a really appropriate subject for our episode 300. I thought it was really appropriate to also have our man EK Wimmer on here. But
yeah.
I think before we go, we do have a Wide World of Metal for you. We'll do a brief Wide World of Metal this week because we're running a little long. But Grizz, what do we have this week?
It's 300, motherfucker. We're going to run a little bit.
Yeah.
It's fucking okay, dude.
Let's go. Chill out here.
We're fucking having a good time. All right. This week on Wide World of Metal, we are going to talk about a fucking... Dude, there's something going on in the desert down there by UEK.
Yeah.
These fucking kids, man. Last week, blood loss. Yeah, dude. Last week, fucking blood loss from Arizona. This week, fucking Cthulhu, also from fucking Arizona.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie, whenever I see cosmic or there's spacey fucking elements with death metal, I usually fucking check out, bro. I'm fucking...
Really?
Yeah, dude. Oh, that's not for me, dude. Like, you know, I'm... Come on, that shit. But, like, there's also, like, I'm just so turned off by it because I think of, like, oh, fucking Rings of Saturn and that kind of shit metal. So it's, like, I don't even want to, like... Usually, I'm not into space metal. It's usually not my fucking... Okay. Space. But that being said, all right, that
disclaimer.
Like Oreo Speedwagon, space metal. Foreigner, space metal.
Oh, boy. All
right. But this band, Cthulhu, space metal, you know, spacey, I guess. The album is called Cosmic Horrors Beyond Human Comprehension.
I love it.
But, dude, it's old school fucking death metal. Just like Blood Loss last week, it's the same kind of fucking thing. No blood incantation either, dude. I don't fuck with that. But like it's great fucking it's just really fucking old school sounding, man. Like the vocals, although there is like a good mix, I think, too, because like there's this new school like kind of like slam gore grindy kind of fucking vocal delivery in some songs too. That's like
the pig squeal.
Yeah, dude, just kind of like, oh cool, this is fucking not what I expected based on everything else.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I sent you guys this morning. It was like, I think this is going to be the fucking one.
Yeah, I really enjoy the production of this. Very accurate.
Yeah,
like this is what you want it to sound like when you're listening to death metal. It doesn't sound like highly polished, but it doesn't sound lo-fi. Like it just has this real like authentic sound to it. This is kind of how like when I was recording like with my old setup, like this is how a lot of my shit would sound, and I always thought it sounded fucking awesome. I was like, wow, this is really cool. I love cosmic horror. I love, you know, HP Lovecraft shit and all that stuff. I pretty much like everything you don't like.
Let's play some fucking clips.
Let's hear these guys because this production is really good. This is good old school.
Let's play
with the botched surgery.
That's
a fucking good one.
Let's fucking do it. I like the artwork of this too. I like the colorful Cthulhu.
Man, those drums sound so clean.
Grizz could fucking he could slam to that. He could fucking mosh, crowd kill.
Do all kinds of things to that. Dude. I can cook dinner to that. I can fuck you name it, bro. You fucking come at me.
To that. I'm cleaning the bathroom to that. No, this really is like there's a lot of I'm not gonna say like it doesn't have the same groove as some of the other bands that we have, but like all the riffs remind me almost of like how like hardcore riffs are like, have like a groove to it. You know what I mean? I don't know. I really enjoyed this. This sounds like a band that I would probably go see live locally. The two guitar players fucking, they're two guitar players, right? In this.
Yeah. I believe so.
Dude, they both fucking rip. Like,
yeah, they do some really good shit.
Yeah. Like you don't really see it a lot, but like, they'll just like throw it in and it's like, holy fuck. Like these dudes could actually fucking play.
Yeah. That opening track. Song. Yeah. In particular, that opening track has some really interesting guitar work that it's not like they just stuck with one thing through the whole track. It's like, there's this whole experience that you go through, and that's what pulled me in right away. For an EP, I was like, this is a great way to open this up.
That's true with all their songs too. It's not a rinse and repeat. Yeah. You know, band, which I think is fucking really important right now. There's so much of that, and it's just so easy to get into that habit. This is all like you just said, a kind of a voyage through a song.
Yeah. So let's do a track. Let's see, we have Cosmic Horrors. That's that's a fucking
titled after the album or whatever.
Yeah, that's the one that has the fucking the dive bomb, right?
It also has them like
there's a lot of dive bombs in
weird intro, like, you know, floofy intro where it's like, oh, this is gonna be a pretty song, and then it fucking comes in all heavy on you.
Yeah.
I love the trem shit.
Yeah, there you go.
So good fucking old school death metal.
I love the fucking trem shit, man.
Cemetery and chill. You better fucking chill out over there. You're looking for some fucking beef. We got it right here. I'm over there.
Nah, good stuff, Chris. That was a good choice this week. I do like, Mike was talking about the production. I think Grizz, I mentioned this to you earlier too, that there's some separation in that mix too, where you can actually hear all the parts really well. It's not just like a wall of sound. I mean, it is a wall of sound coming at you, but it's like a clear wall of sound coming at you, which is nice. It's like you can really separate each part and appreciate it instead of it all just being like a blob coming at your face.
Oh, 100%. You
know? So that's what like I was really impressed by, is like, if you're into the bass or you're into the drums, you can sit there and really hear each part clearly.
That's the best part.
I like
any
that.
Metal
yeah.
album. We can separate it out.
Really,
we got to play the fucking Poser Disposer.
Yeah, we got to play Poser Disposer.
Great name.
This is EK shit right
Fuck
here.
Yeah, dude.
There it is.
It's so out of nowhere to the first time it happened. I was like, oh, what the fuck, dude? I was like, all right.
Yeah. Looking around. Yeah. Like, what? That's awesome.
Another great riff. Fucking, everything grooves, man.
EK, you ever try to pig squeal, man?
It reminds me, when I heard the pig squeal, that like grind squeal, I thought, this is like a cast member of Meet the Feebles. Like, this is a side project right now.
I really liked it. I thought it's pretty, listenable for, it's not like too extreme. You know what I mean? Like, no, I feel like it's not like over the top where, you know, it's like, oh, it's not for me. It's pretty, I don't know. For a wider audience, I guess you could say.
Yeah, they let their riffs breathe. That's what I liked about it. Is it's not like a lot with a lot of extreme metal. It's just like balls to the wall the whole time. But with this, when they hit that groove or that riff, they sit on it for a while and let you just kind of get into it. And that's what I liked about it, was like, you know, there was time to hear what they were doing before they switched gears.
I know, like, a great album when I'm listening to it, because like, I'll forget that I'm listening to something. I'll just have it on in the background, and then all of a sudden it'll pull me out of what I'm doing, and I'll be like, god damn, this part is so fucking good. what am I listening to again? And I'll fucking go back and I'll be like, oh yeah, this fucking band fucking rules, you know? Like, that was happening to me all day with this. I was just like, what the f-? I was like, oh yeah, this fucking kicks ass, man.
It's so funny because like whenever Grizz sends this stuff like at night or whatever, I end up listening to it like on the way, like on the way to work. So it's like fucking like 7 o'clock in the morning or whatever. Like you listen to this, you're like, yeah, fuck yeah. Drinking my fucking rain. Hell yeah.
I did that when Grizz sent me that Worm album. I was at work with my headphones on and I kept finding myself doing that too. It pulled me out. It would pull me out of my crazy zombie state and I'd be like, yes. What am I listening to? This is incredible. Like, oh, it was such a good album that sometimes they do that for you.
So this one is Cthulhu Cosmic Horrors Beyond Human Comprehension. It's available on Spotify. It's on fucking iTunes. I'm sure it's back on there. YouTube too, right? They YouTube, usually have, I say check it out. I think you'll fucking dig it. But that wraps it up for episode 300. But before we completely wrap it up, we will tell you that next week we will be watching Todd Sheets's Edgar Allan Poe's Madhouse. Or it may just be Madhouse. That's probably what it's listed as on YouTube. 1991. I believe
91 early Sheets anthology. This should be a fucking home run, man. But I don't want to promise anything that I can't deliver.
Right? Yeah, neither of us have watched it before. We're trying to really do things that we haven't seen. Because who the fuck wants to watch? Reaction. Yeah, we don't want to watch the same shit over and over again. Plus, it like you know things like fucking Vampire Nights, Vampire Trailer Park, all that shit. We would have never watched Vampire that if it wasn't Bites, for. Dude. Yeah, like.
Shout out to fucking Grave Spitter again for the fucking Vampire Nights recommendation.
Oh, man. That's a good one. Yeah.
Fucking
yeah.
Sleeper movies that I should have seen a long fucking time ago.
Yeah. Is that, what year was that? Like 88?
86?
88, I think. Yeah. Something like that.
EK, that's your Halloween movie for Laser Grave.
Yeah. I got it. I own the Japanese release.
There
I
it
would
is.
Love to hear what you guys.
Mariah will be down for it.
She'll I know
it.
She'll love it, dude. I can get her probably. It's like it's got her vibe to it. I feel for sure. Some badass bitches like that. She'll
did
love
she
it.
Watch it yet?
Yeah, for sure.
Did she like
I
it?
I loved it.
No, did she?
Yeah. Oh, did she watch it? No, I haven't pushed it on her yet.
Wait for the right time.
I would like to see what she says because compared to us, she's normal. So like I feel like she's like the you know that's like the test. You know.
Yeah.
So, EK, where can they find you and where can they find everything that you do?
You can follow our podcast at Laser Graves on Instagram or at lasergraves.com for other episodes. And you can follow my tape site for post-apocalypse stuff at Renting the Apocalypse. And that's where I'm at. That's what I'll be doing.
And come on.
Oh, And Blood Relations. I'm working on a new single. I got this. I know this guy. Yeah. Sorry, I got a band too. I know this guy who's really good at mastering tracks, and I keep sending him shit. So
you're already done. Yeah. Look at that shit.
Yeah. That'll be coming out soon. I got a new single coming out pretty soon.
See, look at that, man. We want you to give as much promo as possible when you're on here.
Please. I'm not used to it.
Grizz, where could they find you on the internet?
You can find me on Instagram at Kane_Enabler.
And you can find me at Bad Taste Video. And you can find everything we do at www.badtastevideo.com. We record live every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/@badtastevideopodcast. We have a Patreon. We have some shit that's uploaded there that's not on YouTube, that's not available anywhere else on the internet, which is pretty fucking awesome, I guess. It's
pretty
go cheap.
Support them, damn it.
Yeah, thanks, Alan Contation, also for saying that. You goo heads, fucking. We just need to cover the bills and maybe a new car soon and maybe a motorcycle, possibly Magic the Gathering cards. Who the fuck knows, man? But you could go
more
there.
More dead alive stuff.
Yeah, exactly. We need to get Grizz like legit film fucking used stuff from Dead Alive.
I would. It's a candy dispenser that's like my grail that I'm fucking trying to get my hands.
Hey, somebody's got it. Somebody hook them up.
That's someone's also like the Friday the 13th Part 5 video store lamp, if you've ever seen that. That's something I've always wanted, but I ain't shelling out 500 for that, baby. That's
You find me one, you'll be the first to get one of the brand new Hanging Dong with Bad Taste Video bumper stickers I'm going to be fucking making. So you're going to fucking want to get on that.
You'll make it for that. Yeah.
You want to get man. I'm telling you.
We're going to get him die cut. Yeah. It's going to look like a pair of jeans with a dong hanging out of it, right? Jesus fucking
Hey, Christ. Guys, from a longtime listener, I've been there since the very first year. I do want to say cheers to 300, man. That's Thank you so no much, small man. Feat. Thank you guys you. Are working your ass off.
And I said this to my man Sutter Kane Rules before. I hope I'm not here for 300 more. So yeah, thank you everybody for watching. Thank you everybody in the chat for coming. Thank you to all the longtime listeners. Also, I want to say, I guess, goodbye to Say You Love Satan podcast. They were one of the reasons why I started this originally. I saw people doing shit that I was into, and I was like, hey, I could probably do that too. Obviously, I can't. I am fucking stupid as hell. And now we just end up, we just watch movies like we're in some sort of torture chamber. But, you know, good for them. They had a fucking long ass run. I think I saw them say 9 years, which is insane to do. And that's longer than any band I've ever been in. 9 years is fucking nuts. Actually, I think this is probably also longer than any band.
It is. Three more years and we're fucking there. So if we hit 300, it'll be right around that time.
Fucking time. Fuck, man. All right. Yeah, we will see you guys next week with Todd Sheets' Edgar Allan Poe's Madhouse. Thank you, everybody, for listening. See ya.